You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account and get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, and Megan coming at you. Going to be talking a little bit of prospect hockey today, so it should be a fun one. Always excited to talk prospects. Yeah, Shane Bowers unfortunately injured, so the thumbnail thankfully won't stand for most of the prospects. It's actually, the prospect pool is actually quite exciting right now, so it should be a bit of a fun one. Megan or AJ,
Rudo, when you do the prospect portfolio, what do you find most interesting about it?
The whole thing?
Yeah,
that the Avs have nailed their defensive picks for the last 4 years.
You think so?
I think so.
Interesting.
Like, I'm trying to think of the last bad defenseman they picked.
And Josh Anderson.
It's Anderson, yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, I know. but you look at it and, like, okay, they picked Makar and Byron Forth overall. Whoop-de-doo, they hit those. Great. But Justin Barron looks good, 27th. You have Drew Helison as a second rounder. You have Sean Behrens, who we're going to talk about. And even a guy like Zaravyov late in the sixth is, you know, looks like a pretty solid guy.
So. I mean, Nate Klerman got an ELC, and Nikki Lieberman is at least
a decent hockey player in the NCAA. Like, yeah,
we'll see if Lieberman ever gets an ELC, but it's definitely interesting. Just to see that it looks like they've, outside of the Anderson pick, that the Avs look comfortable taking defensemen right now.
Yep.
It looks like they have honed in on certain traits that they like, and they're identifying them well.
Connor Timmins too, I didn't even mention, but
yeah, right. I already forgot about Connor Timmins. He's gone, hurt again, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yeah.
I can't even talk about it, man. It just bothers me so much. It bothers me on like a spiritual level.
All right. Well, instead of talking about Connor Timmins, Megan, you went to DU over the weekend to watch a couple of their games. They won both their games against Western Michigan, correct?
That's right. They swept Western Michigan.
Nice. So good news there. They're not ranked anymore because they lost a couple to Nodak, I believe. But
that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them back ranked again. Their offensive side of the puck is it's strong, to say the least. So
yeah, it's a high-scoring game.
Yeah, yeah, they put pucks in the net, that's for sure. We'll see about the defensive side, but we'll also see about the Avs prospect down there in Sean Behrens. I know you had the chance to talk to him. First of all, everyone in the chat, if you haven't read her article yet, which you probably haven't, go check it out on the DNVR because it just posted earlier this morning.
It posted like 10 minutes ago.
So you definitely haven't read it, Jen. All right.
I know you haven't read it. I know.
you're slacking right now. You can pull it up while you're listening to the show even. But Megan, just tell us what it was like to talk to Barons and watch the DU games.
Well, I found it really helpful to watch the games first. I did the interview the following Tuesday before practice, but I at least was able to see the series against Western Michigan beforehand. And it was really helpful because I got to see what kind of player he is ahead of asking him some questions, and that helped me to shape what kinds of questions I asked him, just because it was kind of the perfect series to learn more about his game because it was really undisciplined, and I talk about that in the article. DU was the more disciplined team, and so I got to see Barons on the power play a whole heck of a lot. And that definitely is where he seems to shine the brightest. Something that also he's utilized on both the power play and the penalty kill. And I don't really go into the penalty kill in the article as much, but I did talk to Coach Carl and Sean Barons about that a little bit more. Something for me personally is sometimes I look at something and I decide I can't draw a meaningful conclusion just based on what I've seen. And for Denver's penalty kill, that was something I felt I needed to see a little bit more of, especially to see how Sean might be utilized on it, because that was something he was optioned for more in game two than he was in game one. And this could be an area of his game that he grows stronger in, but focusing on the power play, he's had 10 points in 10 games, 7 of which come on the power play. He definitely has an offensive prowess, unlike any other defenseman on the team right now. I don't see anybody reading the play as quickly as he is right now.
Yeah. It is interesting to see, one, a freshman getting that much opportunity on special teams, I think.
In a program like DU especially. Yeah. Like, if a top prospect, like when Makar went to, like, UMass, and they're wasn't
anybody else
an abundance anything, of yeah. talent just sitting there already. So it's interesting that Barons is already getting utilization on both special teams unit as a freshman.
Yeah. And two, as you mentioned, the highest scoring defenseman on the team does seem to be settling into a type. I don't know if you want to make a player comparison. Obviously, we generally make comparisons based on style more than anything because we're bad at projecting hockey players. But but 10 assists. All of his points have been assists so far this season. No goals. Had that come up at all?
So I did ask him about areas he wanted to improve on in his game. And one of the first things he mentioned was his shot. And I think that was his way of addressing that he'd like to find the back of the net himself rather than just being a playmaker. Something I noted in his game, too, that I think might explain this is he plays very unselfishly. And I think he takes stock of the play unfolding around him and sees a better scoring opportunity in passing it to a teammate than taking the shot himself. And I think he's reading the play correctly there, too. I think that that person generally does have a better shooting lane available to them when he's sending it to them on the power play. These are people like Carter Savoy and Bobby Brink, and so they know what to do with the puck just a little bit better. But if his shot is something he'd like to work on, I think that it's just in due time that he's going to find the back of the net himself.
Yeah, I mean, using his teammates for sure. Savoy has 10 goals on the season, so
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of a connection there, to say the least. So great to see that he's fitting in well. How does he describe his own game when you talk to him?
He describes himself as a small puck moving defenseman, definitely with an emphasis on his offensive capabilities. And something that comes up in both how Carl describes him and how he describes himself is using his brain and using his feet to move the puck, to read the play. And I definitely think his hockey IQ is what shines as well, because something that comes up generally when talking about Barons or seeing what kind of prospect portfolios have been built about him leading up until now is his speed. And there's concern about, for a player his size, is he as explosive in his skating as he should be or could be? And I think he describes his brain well because it's his brain and the way that he's able to read the play as quickly as he can that actually grants him speed. He's able to position himself sooner because he's reading the play ahead of everyone else around him.
Okay.
So he's smart.
He's very smart. Yeah. I drew this comparison in my head earlier because he would remind you of, if we're comparing him to a student who is in a gifted and talented program growing up because they just have a natural instinct and intellect. They're the type of student who doesn't have to study very much ahead of a test because they have the material locked in so well. But when they begin to take things to the next level, what needs to happen is they begin to develop flashcards and complete study guides, and that's how they end up taking tests in the end. And I think he acknowledges that, like that student that was originally in the gifted and talented program, his hockey IQ will only take him so far. There are some elements of his game that he needs to fine tune as well in order to take things to the next level, like a student that naturally succeeded in school now needs to begin making flashcards.
Yep. Interesting.
I do like that comparison, especially for a kid who took the Team USA to college route. Did he talk about the benefits of going to DU or why DU at all?
He did a little bit, and it wasn't, the frame of reference wasn't like, I chose DU over this path for this reason. It sounded pretty solidly like DU was always the choice. He even finished with, this was 100% the right decision. A lot of because of the tradition of DU being a hockey school, and the defensive system that's in place at DU aligns with his game specifically. It sounded like he was keen to come to Colorado generally too, like this is a state he wanted to be in.
I know in the in the article that you draw a comparison to Will Butcher, which I think is pretty apt, because size wise they're pretty similar. USNTDP guys, all of these, a lot of parallels here. Really high hockey IQ guys, offensive defensemen. I would say that just from the prospect scouting that we did before the draft, the big thing that would have separated Behrens from Butcher was that Behrens is already a much more competitive defender in his own zone. How did that translate? How did you view him in the two games against Western Michigan last weekend in his own zone?
In his own zone, it's hard when he does so well in the O zone, like to then look, but he plays a very solid game defensively too. And I think that is shown in Carl's decision to make him one of the top pairings in night two, where he wasn't in night one. There were some high risk situations in night one. And so there's a top pairing that sort of, I draw comparisons between the two right now because it's a sophomore and a junior, and they're a little bit larger in size on DU, and they play a more defense game, and they were utilized more in night one. But Behrens still had a very solid defensive game that into night two, that's when he was utilized on the penalty kill. And I think that is Carl showing faith in his defensive game in his own zone. By allowing him the opportunity to be on the penalty kill in tonight too.
Did Carl talk at all about that aspect of Behrens' game developing?
Which part? The special
PK? The just his defensive game in general.
Oh, yeah. He talks about playing with his brain, being hard to play against, and D-zone box outs. And that's something that Behrens also acknowledges himself, in addition to his shot. That is something that he wants to work on. I think of like a shot herder, just snuffing out shooting lanes in his own zone and corralling guys to the wide side. I think that's something that he was doing very well too. He was minding the gap very well and closing in on that space between him and the other skater. And the other thing I really liked about his game is when it came to tending to the net front, he's one of the best suited players to be in that spot because of his size and his low stance. He's never going to screen his own goaltender, but he's also a smart hockey player. And so he's blocking shots because he's anticipating them very well.
All right. So the big question is, when will he be ready for pro hockey? Especially in the Avs fan base, who has a history of, oh, look at Tyson Jost, who a lot of people think came out of college too early, versus Cale Makar, who went back for the second year. Is Sean Barron someone the Avs should consider giving a contract to after his freshman year, or is this more of a two-year path?
I think more a two-year path, and my personal belief would be even something like three, something that follows closely along Will Butcher's path. There are so many parallels between them for good reason. I think some of it comes down to size. This isn't a concern for me, but it's also something I wouldn't want Barron's to rush, because it will be important for him to continue growing physically stronger and becoming a faster skater. And there's no need to rush him out of college, because they're generally built a little bit smaller in college hockey anyways. There's no need to rush him out of there sooner. And I think he's on the right path developmentally anyways. There's no need to rush the process.
Yeah, especially with college players. We talk about this a lot. Monday through Thursday, every week, they can be in the gym. They can be doing the things they need to do to put on weight. So for a guy like Barron's, who is a little bit on the smaller side, definitely time in college isn't like a grueling travel schedule like major juniors up in Canada or something like that. So definitely a good opportunity for him there. AJ, what else you got? Anything?
I think I'm good on Barron's. You know, he was a guy that we loved on draft day. We loved that he was coming to DU so we could just go see him.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you got out there for the weekend. You got to talk with him, and we will definitely we'll catch up with him again later on in the year.
Yes,
he is a dude that is in contention for the United States WJC team. He did
probably
not have
a good chance to make it. Yeah,
he didn't have a very good summer showcase, but
yeah,
once
but
upon a time, neither did Connor Timmins. So you know, if you have a great year, that's great. So, I would not be great with the Adam Fox. I mean, if he turns into Adam Fox, great. But Adam Fox got traded like four times before he got to the pros.
Yeah, that one was an adventure.
I want to see Sean Barron's grow up from Pio to Av, and actually graduate properly. So
let's get it right.
Megan, thanks a lot for heading out to DU over the weekend.
And it was a blast. Thank you.
Really looking forward to you getting involved in the Eagles and being on the show more.
Yes, I'm very excited too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Give her a follow at Right by Wa on Twitter. Go check out her piece live right now on the dnvr.com. Yeah, thank you again, Megan. We appreciate it a ton. In the meantime, we are brought to you all by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can go get it down at the DNVR bar, 8 different kinds on tap, or head on over to any of your local liquor stores. Doesn't even really matter which one. They're even in, like, I have a tiny little one at my apartment complex that has their Christmas ale kegs. So they out here, let me tell you. Got to buy one eventually. I haven't gotten around to buying a keg yet, because a keg is a lot. But
I tell you, it's easy to find Breck Brew stuff, but if you're trying to look for something specific, use that Breck Brew locator.
Exactly.
It is super, super, super useful, because when I was trying to find all the different things to bring to Canada last summer, I couldn't get all of the Breck Brew stuff that I wanted in one place. So I had to go to a couple different places, and the Breck Brew locator was,
oh, you want this type of beer? It's right here.
Yeah.
So,
and luckily, I live in suburbia, like beer's everywhere. Right. So yeah. It was really easy. It was just like, I've got to go down the street to this one, and then I've got to go down the street to this one, and then I've got to try this one.
Especially Colorado. Colorado's got some liquor stores, man.
Yeah. They don't play. It's everyone. Just places just called liquor.
So get your Breck Brew. Check out DraftKings. Once you've got a little liquor in your system, loosen yourself up, make some good bets. Hopefully you bet as well as we did the other night, because we kind of crushed it on the Avs game. I think everyone hit at least one bet. Blaze and Jesse, I think, hit almost all of their bets. So
rolling in the money a little bit on that one. If you sign up for an account with code DNVR right now with DraftKings Sportsbook, all you have to do is bet $1 on any NFL game. And as long as either team scores a point, you get $100 in free bets. So jump on that one. 1 point is all you need, which is, I guess, as long as you, who got shut out last week? I forget. One team got shut out. Don't bet on them. Bet on everyone. Oh, it was Seattle, right? Yeah. Russell Wilson got shut out for the first time in his career. Don't bet on Seattle. Everyone else will score a point. It'll be just fine. So do that on DraftKings. Get $100. You can bet on whatever you want once you got the $100 in free bets, whether it be darts or, you know, actual sports. No offense, darts players. But you can bet on it. So jump on it. Head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Download their Sportsbook app now. Use the code DNBR to get that $1 for $100 option when you sign up. You must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. When you make a little bit of money, now is a great time to sign up for an annual DNVR membership to get all of our hockey coverage. Not only do you have Megan's piece that came out this morning, you also have our guy Jesse Montano out in Seattle right now. Just tweeted out about Byron being in a no contact for Avs practice, so he is at least skating. Got that going for you. And, of course, he will be live at the game and all of that other stuff as well. So go give Jesse a follow if you haven't. Get all of your DNVR coverage. Get a free shirt thrown in when you get the annual membership, as well as all the other dope stuff that we give you, like access to the DNVR lounge. So it's always a great time to sign up for a DNVR membership. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, continuing to talk prospects. Where do you want to go next, AJ? Who do you want to jump into?
First off, I just want to answer Greg's question. We have not heard from Evan yet today, so no update there.
Yep. Keep the good vibes going.
But yeah, I assume everything is all good.
Yep.
They've got a busy day, so
Twitter updates probably low on the list of things.
I don't know that updating us is going to be really high on that priority list right away. But if we do get any kind of good news, obviously we'll pass it along
For sure.
And I would say in this case, no news is good news. So, yeah. Anyway. Moving forward, we could stay in college hockey because there's still a couple of guys there.
Yeah, there's most of their prospect pool is in college hockey these days, as it turns out. But if we're sticking with defensemen, you got Drew Helleson at BC.
Yeah.
Who looks like he's done baking.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting power play time now at BC, where, like, BC has definitely taken a step down talent-wise overall.
Definitely.
I'm just impossible not to.
Yeah, they have literal, like, star players everywhere in their lineup.
Like, their lineup was dotted with either high-end college players who were in the latter part of their careers or first-round picks who were going to be 1 or 2 year guys.
Yep.
So it was only natural for BC to take a bit of a step back. I would say Helleson, I mean, you're happy seeing the production.
Yep.
Like, you're not getting too excited about it because if production for him is coming on the power play, you know that's not translating.
He's not playing on one.
He's not going to play on a power play in pro hockey. Like, this is remember when Duncan Siemens was next to Stephen Elliott in junior hockey and he had like a 50-point season in his draft year and everybody was like, oh my God. And yeah, like,
I mean, it's less about the production that you're going to see in the box score and more about the fact that he does have the ability to consistently be an effective player in the offensive zone, right?
Yeah, and we're seeing a guy that has developed the all-around skill set that you want. You know, when you get – we talk about this all the time, the archetypes of guys when they get into the league, you're kind of one or the other, and there aren't very many, like, all-around – guys, and if there are, they're usually superstar caliber of players. You don't usually get very many Like, look at Ryan Murray as an example.
Yep.
You know, kind of all around, he has some puck skill. He has some offensive instincts. He has some ability. He's decent defensively, and he gets pushed out of the lineup because Jack Johnson
does one thing really, really well.
Exactly. Like, is in this situation considered more reliable in the role being asked of him currently. And so that's where, you know, that's where he's that's where, like, that all around might hurt him a little bit. And
sure.
Drew Helison, I don't think we have to worry about that. He's developing the puck skills and he's developing the offensive instincts and all of that that he needed in order to even get into the league.
Yeah.
Because it's really, really, really hard to break into the NHL with no offensive profile whatsoever.
The defensive side of the puck is still going to be his bread and butter.
Yep.
It's just you have to have a certain floor to your abilities to really push for NHL time. And after talking about Sean Behrens, Drew Helison is the opposite when it comes to body type, right? Listed at 6'3", 190.
Yes.
And not a fun guy to go into the corner against. We'll put it that way. So, in my opinion, I don't even need to see Helison play anymore this year. The ELC is signed, sealed, delivered, just waiting for him to finish his amateur career, basically.
Absolutely, man. For me, there's no question about it. This doesn't need to be. If he goes, if it goes a senior year, you're worried that
he's gonna walk because other teams will absolutely be interested.
The concern is that he sees the roster math in front of him and says, "I don't see a path for me here."
Yep.
Now, I think that's nonsense because with Ryan Murray, Jack Johnson, and Eric Johnson all expiring in the next 2 years,
there's definitely a path.
Absolutely. There's especially for his archetype, like Sean Behrens is a guy that has to worry about where does he fit into the organization. Gerard
locked up forever.
And yeah. Like, well, Makar and Gerard and Byram not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then a guy like Drew Helison. Okay. Well, there's that guy. You know, how long does Devon Taves stay in Colorado and remain effective? Because right now I'm of the opinion Devon Taves is their best defenseman.
On any given night, yeah.
I mean, you're talking, what's the future for some of these guys? You know, a guy like Nick Lieberman should walk. He should go. Now,
I mean, a guy like Nick Lieberman should take any offer.
That was going to be my point. Yeah. If anybody gives him an ELC offer, he should say yes.
Yeah.
But if there's any kind of an indication that other teams would have ELC interest in him, he should take it. Okay. Like, he should go.
Yep.
At the same time, the Avs have shown themselves able to develop offensive defensemen specifically.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't be in such a hurry to bail. But anyway, with a guy like Helison, yeah, there should not be any Avalanche-related reason he goes back for a senior year. If he goes back for a senior year, it's because he said no to an ELC and he wants to get to free agency. Now, I have no indication whatsoever that that's the case.
Sure.
So I don't want people to take this conversation,
start setting that boat on fire,
and start turning it into, oh God, he wants to leave. But I will say, if he doesn't sign at the end of the year, it won't be from the Avalanche side of things. Okay. It'll be from the Helison side of things. So, yeah, that's nice. Helison. Not even their only BC prospect anymore.
Yeah.
Got your guy
over there too, my man Ambrosio. He's had a solid start to the year. It's not anything otherworldly, but 8 points in 12 games, four of them being goals. It's been solid, I think. Yeah. Is a good way to put it. It's certainly been a uptick from last year, and it's about a second year for some guy like this. It's always about the consistency. So it's hard to read into a ton through 12 games in the year. You want to see him keep up the production through the entire season.
Last year was a little deceiving because they had so many guys at BC were off to WJC camps. Because you remember last year, WJC camps lasted a month because of COVID protocols. So BC was without all those guys. And so Ambrosio got to play way up in the lineup. And then, you know, he was producing at a crazy rate that we were like, okay, this is going to stop. And then all those guys came back, and he ended up back into more of a depth role, and the points dried up. What's different? Yeah, exactly. What's different this year is that he's had a more consistent role, and he has produced more consistently.
Yep.
So you'd obviously love to see the uptick in production, but seeing him more consistently producing points is very encouraging. He has put himself into a serious conversation for an ELC, not this year, but next.
Yep, agreed. He's definitely an after junior year type of guy.
Right now, he is on the same basic trajectory that Sampo Ranta was.
Yep.
He's just smack on 6 inches smaller.
Very different players.
Yeah.
But trajectories. Well,
boy, if you could put Colby Ambrosio's nastiness into Sampo Ranta's body, and that just
still be in the NHL.
His natural aggression, yeah. Man, because yep. That dude, he's a pest. He doesn't take shit from anybody, man. He's a little on the small side, but like Sean Behrens and Colby Ambrosio are in the same boat of they are small on paper, but when they play up in size, when they actually get into a game, they are way feistier. They don't act like guys who are 5'9", 5'10".
One thing I love about him, listed at 5'9", he scores a lot of goals in and around the net for a dude that weighs 165. Yeah. Like, he's not afraid. That
was
his thing in
Tri-City, man. He was all of his goals were right in the crease area.
Not at all afraid to get to that area of the ice and do what he has to do to score a goal. So, I love that side of it. I do think he has a pretty decent shot, and he can skate very, very well, obviously. But
goal scoring has been his offensive trait. Yep. Everywhere he's been, and it's continued at BC. So that's a really positive. He's off to a really positive development track so far.
Yep. It's been rock solid for him. The size is always going to be something that people look at and say, if this dude's not producing, he's not worth putting out on the ice. So
Ambrosio is going to be an interesting one because I think he's got a shot to be a depth player in the NHL. I think he's got
that feistiness you mentioned.
The way that he plays and kind of his attitude. I think he has a chance to be very John Mitchell-esque.
I think where he's a really good comparison. Yeah.
He's a really skilled grinder type that works really hard and is best as center. So,
yep. You play him at center. You give him some PP2 time.
Yeah.
His defensive side of the puck is going to rely on him playing like a Matt Calvert where he just goes insane and skates as hard as he can at people his entire shift.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yep. So I would say Ambrosio, I would say look for him. If you're really trying to find an NHL job for him, John Mitchell is where I would probably go.
Yep. Hopefully you see the production continue this year, and then where you really want to see him take the step is you want him to be a point per game player type next year.
Yep.
So that's what I'm looking at for him. I still really like him, but you know, with prospects, it's always hype until it's not.
Well, right? And he's developed and produced in such a way that you're not finding a reason yet to really be like, right. Shit.
You're not down on him yet.
Yeah.
The hype continues.
Like when Ryder Ralston got drafted, and I was hyped about it because I was like, oh, dude, this is a depth guy. Like he's lacking some skill, but he's an awesome skater who can go and hit guys. And then he puts up like 4 assists in his freshman year.
Then he
year,
was lacking like, a lot of skill.
You're like, oh my gosh, this is a problem. I don't think Wingerly's gonna get.
Yeah,
a look.
I don't. Personally. The waiver claim of Knack, I think, kind of speaks to where their AHL depth is at, right?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been – Wingerly just hasn't done much for the Eagles. So it's been – it's hard to get too excited. He's clearly behind the guys who are, you know, Megna and Sherwood, Newhook,
Sakura and Maltsev
Ranta,
down there probably and ahead of him. Yeah.
Sakura and Maltsev are still there. When Martin Kaut gets healthy, that guy's ahead of him.
Yep.
If Shane Bowers ever were to get healthy, that guy would be ahead of him. So I think with Wingerly, it's tough sledding.
Yep. He's got 4 points in 13 games, so it's not like he's earning a spot. When you look at Sakura's got, what, 14 points in 11 games, and Maltsev's got 11 and 10 or something like that. It's,
yeah, like those guys are leading the pack for the Eagles. So, yeah, I know Ryder Ralston looks great this year.
Yeah, he's looked much, much better.
Every time I've watched Nick Lieberman, I'm like, come on.
Like, can't win them all.
Yeah, well, I mean, for Carl Soderberg. Anyway, I don't want to get mad. I don't want to get mad.
All right. Well, instead of getting mad, get meat.
Get glad. I'm going to have you out here kick you.
Head on over to HassleCattleCompany.com. You can get 15% off right now with code DNVR15 during the holidays when you want to get your Wagyu beef burgers, your tomahawk steaks, your bone-in ribeyes, you name it. You can get whatever delicious, delicious steaks and other meats that you want from Hassle Cattle Company. Jump on that. It's 10% off during the not holidays, so now's a great time to buy with that 15% off. And if you order over $200, you get free shipping. So jump on Hassle right now. Then check out Green Mountain Dental Group. Make sure you're cleaning your teeth well. You sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, and you get a free Sonicare toothbrush so you can take care of your teeth at home, just like they take care of them for you at their dentists. Super easy, super fast, and they're great at what they do. So check out Green Mountain Dental Group and get your teeth nice and shiny white. Of course, you know, you can also get Chevalier Mortgage set up for yourself. Maybe you're looking to buy a home like me and it's absolutely insane, so you need a little bit of help there. And the biggest help is the fact that Mike is a certified financial planner. So instead of just finding you a great rate for a home loan that may or may not make sense for you, they will find the exact right home loan for what you are looking for and make sure it works with your entire financial picture, not just the house. You can visit them at dnvrmortgage.com, where you have a chance to not only get a free consultation from them, but win some free DNVR merch, or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Even if you already own your home, with prices where they are at right now, it's creating natural equity. So if you have mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that and make this bubble work for you. Again, visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ, should we go to the one prospect? Well, there's more than one, but the one prospect in North America that is not in NCAA hockey?
Sure.
Have you bought into the Oscar Olsson hype yet?
Not really.
Sure.
Mostly because I said on this podcast that I fully expected him to go and
destroy that league, yeah.
Score 30 or 40 goals in the OHL. Because he's playing against junior goaltending, man. Yep. And like, we saw him in the preseason.
Yeah, beat NHL like, goaltenders.
Yeah, like blowing some pucks by. Yeah, we're going to get to Steinberg. We're getting there. Yep. Don't worry. But with Olsson, man, this is kind of just a, as expected, this is just given what his strength was. He's exactly as I had hoped at this point.
Yep.
Not a good or bad thing. It's all good.
Guy has 54 shots on goal in 14 games.
Yeah. I mean, if he can continue to score goals at just a little bit below a goal per game, great.
Yep.
Knock over my mic.
That's how hyped you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good on Olsson. I'm encouraged by it. But I would say I have not bought into like
this being all that meaningful beyond.
Yeah, just because like that we know that his shot would play in the NHL now.
Yeah.
It's a great shot. So there's a whole lot of other aspects of hockey that need to get developed up a little bit, and we'll see how it goes. I really want to see him at WJC's.
Yeah, that's
for true. Me, that's he's going to be a top six player for Sweden. he's going to be a returning international guy for them. So I'm of the opinion that that is going to be the true litmus test for how I feel about him. I don't think that Olsson would have been better in the AHL this year because he would be playing bottom 6 minutes next to Jean-Luc Foudy. And
there's just,
I'm not going to do that.
Based on the preseason he had, there was just no way you could put him in the AHL.
Yeah, I'm totally – after seeing him in the preseason and all that, I felt like the OHL was a great decision by the org. And so far, the returns are great. Yep. Like, he's doing exactly what you want to see from him in the OHL right now.
The real gains in his game, as you mentioned, are not things that are going to show up in the box score. It's him learning to play it without the puck a little bit more, learning to use his physicality, especially along the boards more, things like that. But, all right. The people want Steinberg. We can talk about Steinberg next. Obviously, you
know, people are all over the place with questions. We've got Taylor McCarr jokes. Who's not Taylor? And yeah, two games played so far.
Yeah, healthy scratch.
Is not in the lineup. Justin Barron
has been injured.
Yeah, has been injured and has not. He's only played about half the Eagles games, so there isn't. There's not a ton to talk about. Yeah, there's not tons to get into there yet. So.
And anyone who's played well, not named Maltsev or Sakura for the Eagles, has played for the Avs. So,
yeah, I mean, like Jean-Luc Foudy has been
solid in his role, but
he's been interesting. I really do wonder. I know that he was part of the Eichel talks.
Yeah.
Because Buffalo really liked him and the Avs were like,
We also really like him.
Yeah, like we're also pretty big fans, so but he's like I don't know. I really like Jean-Luc Foudy, so can't wait for him to be a defenseman someday.
Oh my god. All right, moving on.
No, we'll see with Foudy. He's off to a good start this year. He's off to a solid start, and it's not hard to see him ascend to a 2C job with the Eagles next year with Olsson on his right wing.
Yep.
Like that feels predictable.
Yeah. I think that one is hopefully a slam dunk, but talking about Steinberg, I've finally found himself a little bit of offense in the NCAA. And Steinberg's path is really weird, right? Because he did not play in the NCAA last year. Cornell canceled their season.
Yeah. And he tried to go and play in the BCHL and broke his leg.
Immediately broke his leg. So he basically didn't play hockey last year, which, you know, take whatever you want from that. But it also means that he's still only a sophomore, according to hockey eligibility. He has this year and then two more years of college hockey if he wants.
Yeah.
So that's an option for him. And look, the level of competition that you play in what is essentially an Ivy League school is what it is, but the dude has 9 points in six games now this year, which is a huge, huge step up for him in production. So,
yeah, he had 10 points his freshman year.
Yeah.
So,
in 27 games comparatively. So, he's basically already at that mark six games in.
Yep. Really, if you're talking about a comparable for him, I see him as a Zach Gassian type.
Yeah.
Where he's not going to be super skilled, but he'll be skilled enough to find his way in a bottom six, but he's all sandpaper and agitation and a hearty F you to anybody that gets near him. Like he just doesn't for whatever. I mean, he's a very nice young man. I've talked to him a couple of times, but when he plays hockey, he just lives to hit people.
9 points, 10 penalty minutes on the for the record. So,
yeah. So he's not a guy that we were excited about when they selected him. You want to see the skill continue to develop. You want to see the production continue. But He's kind of singular in Colorado's system in the same way that Drew Helison is.
Yep.
Where he's really the only kind of archetype of that archetype in Colorado's system, where he's just the power forward. He's not going to be very high end, but he brings a nastiness, a physical element. So he's got long. It's really encouraging to see Matt Steinberg off to the start that he's had, but that's not a guy that again, three years in college.
Yeah. A start like this is something for a player like that where you go, okay,
great.
Can't just write him off. This is a guy where you now need to pay attention to and see if he can earn himself an ELC.
Yeah. He's really not a great freshman year. And then last year is a total loss season where you're like, man, did they light another third round pick on fire? And this is a lot more encouraging. Yep. Right now he's kind of following along with the Tyler Reese path where slow growth.
Yep. Weese, by the way, having a very solid year, 13 points in 12 games. Also has already scored 4 goals for him. He's never been much of a goal scorer. He's got to put pucks in the net, and he started doing that a little bit this year. So
he had 7 last year, and that's the most he's had in his career. So that's a big deal for him to get. And he scored a overtime game winner.
Yep.
On a penalty shot.
It was a penalty shot. Yes.
He has really turned into a big part of their leadership group at Nebraska Omaha, and another guy where the Avs have a lot of contracts and not a lot of guys on their reserve list. So that could benefit a guy like Tyler Weiss a lot where they're just like, we'll see. Yeah. Let's try it.
I don't know if it'll be the Avs, but I'm pretty comfortable saying some team will throw something at Weiss, I think.
Even if he doesn't get an ELC, he should get an AHL deal.
Something. Yeah. Right. He'll get some sort of an opportunity to play hockey professionally, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But certainly
I'm hoping that he just continues the upward trajectory, man. Yep. Cause I love his skating.
Yep.
And he's a
kid to watch.
He's a really fun playmaker. You know, we've talked about the shot isn't great, kind of like with Foodie, but he's a really slick passer and he's really creative and has great vision.
Wow. I've never actually seen him listed at his correct weight. Shout out College Hockey Inc. Have him listed at 145.
That's got to be... That can't be accurate today. I totally believe that.
His freshman year?
Yeah, on day one.
Yeah.
If he's still 145, then he's got no chance.
Yeah. He's going to show up in the AHL and get squished.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's cool.
That's been Ananin's net in Loveland anyway. And
Ananin's kind of taken that job. So
they rode through the rough first month and Ananin has settled in now and has started playing really well for the Eagles. So.
Yep.
On that front, yeah. I don't know. Are there any other prospects that you really wanted to touch on here?
I mean, obviously the Russians, both of them, I think, would be in the NHL if they were over here.
Yep. Kovalenko for sure. I don't think there's any doubt would be in
the NHL. I will say there is more buzz about Kovalenko being willing to come over now than there was a year ago.
Yep.
But this has been back and forth with him constant.
Yeah. It's nothing's ever for sure with the Russians, unfortunately. Yeah.
When he was with Lokomotiv, it was a family thing, right? Like, and he was very, very comfortable there.
Yeah.
And now that he's out of there, and he and Shravalov are on the same team.
Yep.
That might be a thing. I know that the Avs have had interest in bringing Kovalenko over for the last 2 years. So,
and he did get injured, but before that, he was playing his best hockey in the KHL this year by a good margin.
So. Well, and he was, no coincidence, he was getting a bigger role.
Yeah, significantly more opportunity.
Yeah, before we declare Devontae's dead because he's not at practice, I would say keep in mind that there have been a lot of maintenance days.
Everybody and their mother. Gerard has been taking maintenance days every day.
Yeah, so that's going to be do I totally believe that he could have gotten hurt in some way? Of course, but until we get actual word about it, I'm not worrying about it.
Not out until
you guys see how I make this mistake over and over and over in life, that I just don't worry about things that aren't real until they're real.
Is that a mistake though?
It's how I have to be, because I used to worry about stuff all the time, and all it did was stress me out.
Look, my wife is the ones that worries about imaginary things, so I gotta worry about things when they actually are a problem.
I'll say I don't want to throw Z under the bus and say samesies, but I will say Z is definitely, of the two of us, Z is definitely the one that likes to peer into the future and find the thing that I should be concerned about.
Yeah, I'm just not going to waste time twisting myself into knots figuring out worst case scenarios. I'll deal with it when it comes.
Yep. That's how I am. Maybe this is a dude thing, and this is maybe why we're Neanderthals.
Yeah, we're just dumb.
And why, like, they run the world.
We see things right in front of us, and we deal with that while they got the whole bigger picture to look at.
Yeah. They're the ones. We're the checkers. They're the chess players.
There we go. Yeah, perfect.
That I could definitely buy.
I'll stick to my checkers. I'm happy here.
Yeah, king me.
Okay, I think we're all good. There's really not a ton to talk about in the AHL.
Let me just kind of throw this at you real quick. Non-pro prospects, because the things always get kind of muddied when you throw those in there.
Yeah,
non-pro prospects, top three Avs prospects. Top, let's say, and when I say top three, I mean guys that you think will have, the guys that their NHL potential you are the biggest believer in today.
I have to put a Lausen at one just because I think the ceiling is too high not to. And then probably Helleson. I think if I had to pick a guy who I'm the most confident in getting NHL games, some point is Helleson right now of the Avs amateurs.
Okay.
And third, you could go with a number of dudes. Honestly, it's probably Behrens for me.
Okay.
You'd have the Russians in the mix too, but I hate to put them in the mix because you just never know if they're going to come over or not.
Yeah. It is hard to... Well, and both of them are like role players.
Right. They're not going to be like major points, but those are the three I'd probably go with. As much as I love Ambrosio, he's got a little bit further to go, certainly than Helleson and probably to a lesser extent Behrens. Olausen's probably the most raw, but again, I think has the highest ceiling.
Yeah. Okay, so I almost agree with you. Minor difference, but I would also say Olausen, and then I would say Helleson, and then I would say Ambrosio over Behrens. And
I like that.
The biggest thing for me, my biggest concern with Sean Behrens is not a concern with Sean Behrens. It's a concern of
how does he fit into this team? Yeah.
Because you look at a guy like Behrens and you look at the Avs long term, the one thing that they are flush in is even when you get into a Justin Barron, you know, and Byram and Makar and Gerard and where do you need the puck mover? You know, where, because if that's where a lot of his value is coming from, and he ends up being a weaker defender, you know, he said, hey, his role model is Torrey Krug.
Yep.
If they get Torrey Krug out of that guy, awesome.
Well, look, I'll tell you what you always say, AJ. Right now, the way the Avs defense is going, availability is a skill. All right.
Yeah, true.
Maybe Behrens can find his way into the lineup just because he's healthy.
It's true. Yeah, it's fair enough. But with Ambrosio, I just think that the center spot in the organization has become
so much more valuable. Yeah.
It's become iffy long term, and then Ambrosio just keeps growing into it a little bit. Well,
as long as they don't get him to the AHL and then immediately move him to wing, which has been a trend for guys lately, but
yeah, and it could be. I mean, and you know, maybe, but and then I guess last question: how are you feeling? How are you feeling about Anadin these days?
A lot better after the last week and a half.
And like you knew it was gonna take some time. It is really nice to see him settle into it, though.
Yeah,
because those first couple of weeks, you're
like, oh boy, this is not great. But
like,
yeah,
we waited 2 years for this. Like, oh, come on, man.
But yeah, he stepped it up quite a bit. Has won 3 of his last 4, I believe. In 3 of those games, he gave up 2 or less goals. So it feels like it's starting to come for him. Now he's just got to find some consistency. Yeah, the rest of the AHL, you've kind of already seen most of what it has to offer beyond Bowers and Barron, who are hurt, and then Foodie, who's on a little bit of a longer timeline. So,
yeah.
Yep. It's kind of just where it is. Yeah, there's a couple other guys that we didn't really talk about. There's not a ton to say about them, but if you're really interested in it, go look at my prospect portfolio on the dnvr.com. Yep. If you want to see some highlights of those guys, I always throw a couple highlights into that article as well. So you can go get hyped on some of the sick plays that they make. But yeah, we're out of here for the day. Thank you everyone watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate you all a ton. If you're watching here live on YouTube, we appreciate you being in the live chat. Be sure to like and subscribe to the video. That helps us out a bunch. But we are done for the day. We will be back tomorrow, both pre and post game, live from the bar. Also doing a watch along, so live during the game too. So be sure to tune into that. Stay tuned. Going to be doing some interesting stuff with the watch along. So keep your eyes peeled if you're a member of DNVR. We're going to send some stuff your way.
Yep.
But till then, we'll talk to you all later.